I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you most Monday through Fridays. Yeah, sometimes we miss a day. But we're here for you after the Celtics' crazy, improbable game that they should have never been in a position to have to come back from. But they won 112-111, beating the Pacers on a Tito Rozier last-second crazy steal and dunk. We're the Rainer Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, and Jay, holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit. That's about the way to react to that one. I mean, first of all, the Celtics were just awful for a long stretch. They made some horrific passes. Their decision-making was putrid. They decided to take a lot of pull-up isolation jumpers that were very contested and very much not good shots. They went to hero ball for a long time. Terry Rozier threw an inbounds pass to the wrong team, like moments before he then stole a pass and went in for a dunk, game-winning dunk at the other end. Just a preposterous victory in a lot of ways. And we haven't talked about the fact that the Celtics started 10 for 10 from the field while going up by 19 points. It was really just a wild roller coaster of a game.
Yeah,
wild roller coaster.
The beginning of the game, it looked, well, first of all, they were on one of those tears. They couldn't miss. They 10 for 10, and like then they hit like another five in a row or something crazy like that. They just couldn't miss. And you knew, obviously, that was not going to be sustainable. But that first half, I mean, they went into halftime with a 62-47 lead. But third quarter, fourth quarter, not great. That third quarter, what did Oladipo have in the third? I mean, he had 30 in the second half, but he
I think he had 12 in the third, 18 in the – maybe 60. I don't know. I don't know what the splits were. I don't care.
He had a ridiculous second half. 30 points in the second half.
And some of his finishes over Horford late were just awesome, awesome finishes.
And like an up and under and under and under and then back up again. It was like crazy.
And then the other lefty finish, full speed off the glass, that
ridiculous.
One was tough, man.
Ridiculous. What the hell has gotten into Oladipo this year? He's gone from kind of cast off to the Thunder stole him, you know, stole Paul George for basically nothing, and then all of a sudden Oladipo, out of everything, Oladipo suddenly the one all-star in this whole thing. It's crazy. He had an MVP level second half against the Celtics to basically put them in a position to win a game. And if who was it that threw that pass? Was it Bogdanovic?
Yeah, man, wow,
what a stupid pass. And for the second straight night, a Boston team wins thanks to the other team throwing a stupid pass. And this time the Celtics benefit after the – sorry, Steelers fans, but I'm going to bring that up again. just a wild – that was the ending.
That was basically your sorry to Chuck.
No. I sent Chuck a text earlier today. Just leave me the fuck alone, he said.
So Chuck is John's partner at the fabulous RedsArmy.com. Big Steelers fan. Probably not very happy.
Big Steelers fan. He's one of those weird New Englanders who's totally diehard Boston in every way, but because he grew up in the 70s and the Patriots were still kind of an expansion team, there are a ton of Steelers, Cowboys, and Dolphins fans around New England, especially Rhode Island, the further away you get from Boston towards Connecticut. But Chuck got caught up in the whole Steelers wave, so that's always fun. It's always fun. I did, and to my credit, I didn't rub it in last night. So, but that's an aside.
I don't believe you.
Go. No, I didn't. Go listen to the Locked On Patriots podcast for more reaction. That was our little nod to the Locked On Patriots show. Go listen to Locked On Patriots. Subscribe to them if you're a Patriots fan, and get all this kind of stuff all the time. That was this ending. That was an example of a team getting so caught up in the moment where if Bogdanovich just held on to the ball, took the foul, made a couple of free throws, would have put Boston in an impossible position. Even if he made one, the best Boston could have done is tie. And he just got out of control, lost sight of what the situation was, and tried to just basically run out the clock, but there was too much clock. And Terry Rozier made a great play. I mean, he read it the whole way. He got up and stole the pass. Granted, that pass was high up in the air.
That thing was a lollipop.
Yeah, but he saw it. He went for it. He made the play. And then he finished with the dunk, which was, I think, important because a layup could have been blocked. And he went in there and finished strong. So that was a hell of a play by Terry Rozier to really make up for a lot of really bad plays. The Celtics in the second half, I got to say, they 12 turnovers. They gave up 18 points off of 12 turnovers in the second half. That was their lead. That was their whole lead. Their biggest lead of the game was this says 15 in the second half. Sorry. But so they gave up 18 points off of 12 turnovers in the second half. So Terry Rozier kind of bailed them out after a really horrible 24 minutes of basketball.
And what's great about that final play when Terry Rozier ended up with the dunk is that the Celtics actually botched the execution. Brad Stevens wanted them to trap once and then foul. They trapped twice. They should have fouled Bogdanovich. Instead, he throws the lollipop and Rozier goes the other way. It's hilarious because Rozier almost never dunks on fast breaks. Like, he always goes in for a finger roll or a layup, and he's missed some over the years, and the Celtics have kind of laughed at him about it. I think he had a fast break dunk earlier this year. Kyrie was like, yeah, he finally dunked one. and then late in the fourth quarter, he finally dunked one again. And damn, that was just a ridiculous, ridiculous finish. Outrageous. The Celtics really shouldn't have had a chance after the Pacers really shouldn't have had a chance. And just a hilarious ending.
The ending was great.
After the Patriots last night, Boston sports just has perennial luck everywhere. Nothing goes wrong for Boston sports except, God damn it, that damn helmet catch, man. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. We'd be remiss to if we did not mention that the only reason why that Terry Rozier play was possible because Kyrie just willed the Celtics back with a couple of crazy three-pointers when they were down 5 with 31 seconds left. And the Celtics, with 31 seconds left, it was 107-102. And the Celtics scored 10 points in 31 seconds because of Kyrie, three-pointer, Smart, who I think, despite shooting very well, had a very bad game again.
That might have been his worst game of the season. He was just throwing some bonkers passes, like just
stupid
bad decisions everywhere.
I mean, since we're here, I might as well bring it up that Marcus Smart had 7 turnovers. This is the second time that we've talked about Marcus Smart, who shot amazingly well, had 15 points on just 6 shots because he was 4 of 4 from 3. And again, he had that crazy little floater in the lane with 20 seconds left or so. But even though he shot great, he was terrible. -4, 7 turnovers, just not a good game at all. It's another bad game where Marcus Smart, if it's a choice, and it seems like it's a choice between good shooting, bad passing, Marcus Smart, and bad shooting, good passing, I'll take bad shooting and good passing because at least the missed shot doesn't lead to a fast break. I don't know what's going on with Marcus Smart, but
he'll be fine. I mean, he's been a good passer most of the year.
It's
just a couple times where he had bad decisions. It's like when you don't think Marcus Smart's going to become a good shooter when he shoots 4 for 5 from behind the arc, you shouldn't think he's going to become a bad passer just because his brain short-circuited for 48 minutes.
but I guess my thing is that his brain's been short-circuiting for the past 5 or 6 games now, it seems. And I don't know what's up. Like every player goes through bad stretches, and maybe he's just going through a funk and something's in his head, whatever. But that I would rather have him go back to missing threes and passing just well all the time, because good passing Marcus Smart can affect the game much more positively than the guy who hits a few threes but then turns the ball over a bunch, because that ends up leading to points for their team. But regardless, he had that that floater in the lane with 23 seconds left, and then Kyrie with another three with 10 seconds left. That right there, I mean, that run is crazy. To think about 10 points in 30 seconds, a 10-4 run over the last half minute of the game, that's nuts.
It was a power-packed last half minute. The one thing I do want to point out, too, is Smart's verticality on the 3-on-1 fast break to break that up late.
Yeah,
that was an important play, too. So Smart made a couple big plays late after he kind of screwed up for the majority of the game, except for his shooting. It was not a good Smart game. It was a good Tatum game, though.
I was just going to point that out. Yeah, man. He's
two special dunks.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Those were sick.
Yeah, those were really sick.
Tatum's numbers, by the way, 16 points. Again, 16 points on just 8 shots, because he's the most efficient player ever, apparently. He only took one three, but he made that. 3 of 3 from the line. Wow, man. What a game. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block. Just what a night. What a night for him. Kyrie was typical. And
at least one murder. He killed Domantas Sabonis, who later was a zombie and hurt the Celtics. But Tatum, I feel like he's getting more and more aggressive going off the bounce, and especially when he has a good matchup. We saw it against the Grizzlies when he was playing the 4 and Jamichael Green was guarding him. He brought out the goods. Like he would really dug deep into his bag of tricks against the Grizzlies. And then when he had Bogdanovich on him against the Pacers, just try to ruin him. Like there were a few plays in the mid range where he created like 5 or 6 feet of space. Bogdanovich was kind of on skates. And then the one play where Sabonis came over and helped and Tatum dunked it on top of his mug was another play where he saw Bogdanovich wasn't going to be able to close out on him. Just a simple rip through, like blew by Bogdanovich. And what's exciting about that is one, when you put Tatum against second unit and he has bench defenders on him, you want him to be more aggressive. And two, especially once Gordon Hayward gets back, but even right now with Kyrie and Horford and Jaylen Brown, when you have Jason Tatum being aggressive, there are going to be nights when he has a really bad defender on him. There are going to be nights when he has a Bogdanovich or the worst defender on the other team. And that's just going to be a mismatch for a long time. It's easy to envision how brutal the Celtics are going to destroy mismatches when Hayward gets back.
Oh, like, my God.
If the other team has a bad defender, they're just going to be able to seek out that bad defender, ruin that bad defender time and time again. And you can see Tatum kind of evolving and becoming – like his eyes are starting to light up when he has a slower-footed defender on him now, which wasn't always the case earlier in the season.
No, he is definitely showing some different things, some much more isolation. He seems more aggressive in the past couple of games. I want to just give a shout-out here on the Rain and Jays hashtag, Micah Malloy at Micah_Angelo. Jason Tatum's first step is wow, and that dunk! Tatum is showing out. Yes. Yeah, that first step is deceptively fast, because I think people have to now respect that jump shot, and he's taking that jump shot off the dribble a lot more, which is something that wasn't happening a ton earlier in the season. He's taking a lot more pull-up jumpers, a lot more pull-up threes, especially this month. Over the past 3 weeks, I think he's taken as many as he has prior to all those 3 weeks combined for the season. So he's really a threat from deep, and if you have to respect that shot, then that makes that first step all that quick, all that
quicker. Jesus, I can't talk all of a sudden. All the more quicker.
All that quicker.
all that quicker. Because whatever the hell I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because if you have to stay up on him and respect that shot, and he just gives you that little shoulder fake, and it just gets you off balance. You don't even have to jump. You don't have to do it. You just have to get off balance. And once you're off balance, boom, he's by you. So it's not just that he's got a quick first step, is that he can make you look like you're frozen. So
and he has the long strides. Like, he gets to the hoop in 2 steps from anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Like, it's just really easy for him. And then even if you stay with him, he just extends his long arm out like 12 feet in front of him and can finish that way. So that kid just has everything in his offensive game. He's going to be tough to stop for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah. He's a good one. He's a good one. Just shout out here to @Gates_Ben. Kyrie could take an over the head shot from half court while spinning on one leg and somehow managed to make it seem like a good shot. Some of the shots that Kyrie was hitting, even those threes at the end of the game, I don't know. He's just one of the – I thought Isaiah Thomas – and I'm not trying to bring up comparisons. Like, I thought Isaiah Thomas made some crazy shots last year. Kyrie is just making shots that are even more somehow wildly spectacular.
They're very different in the way they play. Like,
yeah.
Isaiah was kind of just violent with the way he attacked the rim and got by guys. Even the way he celebrated, it was like there was just a violence to the way he played basketball. With Kyrie, he's more like an artist. Like, yeah, just kind of he does it all with like a beauty to it. It's not so much violent as it is artistic. And so they just do it really differently. It was another, 30 points on 12 of 23 shooting for Kyrie. I thought he took some bad shots early in the fourth. Like, the Oladipo went on a run, and the Pacers were demolishing the Celtics' lead. And Kyrie settled for a couple tough ones, and he can make those, but you'd rather have him at least look for easy ones before he settles for those. And then, like, whatever, it didn't matter because he hit 2 threes late, and then Rozier did some wildness on the last play. Bogdanovich is gonna think about that one for a while.
Yeah, that's
because that was just a horrific pass. You cannot make that such a lazy pass at that stage of the game. Like, you can never make that a lazy pass like that, but to throw it that high with that much air under it, Rozier wasn't even right there in the passing lane. Like, he had to cover a lot of ground to get to that ball. And Bogdanovich, man, you blew it, bruh.
You did. You blew it. Let's shift over to the rain and junk hashtag, because this transitions me into Al Horford's night. @Sandesh Dillon with an H. You figure out where the H goes. If there was a stat called almost had it for triple doubles, Al Horford would be leading it right now. Al Horford just missed another triple double, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He's always either one rebound or one assist shy of a triple double. How many near misses is that for him this season? I can't.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I feel like he's had like 5 or 6.
This one, he had 9 and 9 at the end of the third quarter, I think. So he just can't get there. If he's like the anti, Jesus, I'm forgetting his name right now.
Westbrook.
Wow. No. The dude who used to play for the Celtics for a little while. Always got buckets, never did it.
Ricky Davis.
How bad is it that I forgot his name? I'm so ashamed of myself. But yeah, Horford is the anti-Ricky Davis.
I love that get buckets. I'm like, oh yeah, Ricky Davis.
That was all it took. But yeah, Ricky Davis would throw a ball off his own rim to try to get an extra rebound. And Horford's like one assist away from a triple-double, and he's just making the right play no matter what.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Damn it, Horford. Just go get your triple double, man.
No, it's just another near miss for average Al Horford. Let's see. What else do we got here? Nothing else. Nothing else in the rain and junk, except for people like just chanting Tito, 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 and comparing Tito to John Havlicek. Tito stole the ball. Randomness. Why don't we, because we didn't do the show yesterday, we owe the people a big Australian boat. And
we do owe the people a big Australian boat.
We owe the people
so
a boat.
We have to include this game on the boat, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, because they play like eight more times before the next boat anyway with this stupid
True.
Schedule. So there's a lot of opportunity to get people. So tonight the tonight counts for the boat. So
Tito number one pick.
Sure, Tito gets on the boat. Yeah, I have not been a fan of Rozier's overall game this week, but he always seems to make plays when it counts. And
when you get a game-winning steal and dunk, you could have gone 0 for 50. It doesn't matter. You're getting on the damn boat, man.
I mean, he had a decent game. Look, 9 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of steals. That not bad. Not bad. 4 of 9.
We might name the boat Terry Rozier the Fourth for this week.
Oh, whoa. I don't know about that, but sure.
Game winner's count, man.
Okay, sure. Al Horford goes on the boat because he's driving the boat. He's just been on the boat. Al Horford and Kyrie Irving are just always on the boat, right? Like, I can't imagine a scenario other than them not playing games where they're not on the boat.
Yeah, those guys, they're just sunbathing up there with their swimsuits.
Yeah, they're just permanent fixtures. Permanent fixtures. Tatum is almost always
on the boat.
Like, Jason Tatum, although he did have a bad game against a bad game against Chicago, and then he had a bad game against, was it Utah? Was Utah the bad game?
They've had so many games lately, it's hard to remember. But
mixes the hit. The thing about and why he does deserve to be, besides the absolute demolishing of Sabonis tonight and yamming three times, the bounce back games that he's had. Like, he's had a bad game, but then he followed up with a good game. And to this point in the season, Jason Tatum has not had back-to-back single-digit scoring games, which is amazing for a rookie. He has scored a few single-digit games, but he's always followed it up with a double-digit scoring game. So, and another 16 tonight. So he's got to be on the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and not only that, but just the fact that he's kind of opening up his game a little bit, it feels like, and kind of letting loose parts of his attack we haven't seen consistently. I'm in for that Tatum. I'm in for the Tatum who just destroys Bogdanovich and lights up Jamichael Green and dunks on directly through people's souls. I'm in for that Tatum experience.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. And it's hard to remember sometimes because they've played so often and I feel like we've seen so much that it's only been, what's this, the 33rd game of the season? And it's still December 18th when we're recording this. So Tatum is only just starting to scratch the surface of what he can do. And he's only just seeing what adjustments NBA defenses make. You know, playing against college defense is just that you're not playing against very good defense in college. Even the best college defense is nothing compared to what you're seeing in the NBA. And now he's seeing wrinkles. People are trying to take away his shooting. They're trying to do different things. They're trying to lock him down with different defenders, and he has to adjust. So now we're starting to see him make adjustments, and he's whipping out some of those dribble moves and crossing a guy over three times and pulling up in his face. Those are things that are new and that we've wanted, but as he sees new things from NBA defenses, he starts to incorporate new wrinkles to his game, which is a lot of fun. Like, I am really, really enjoying Jason Tatum. Even on his bad games, like, I want NBA defenses to figure him out a little bit, because now I have a lot of confidence in him being able to come up with a counter move. So, yeah, figure out a way to stop him for a game, and then I want to see what he does to get to start getting back to the scoring, because then he's going to add something else, and that's just going to help him grow.
I mean, he's just got it all, man. He's got counters. He's got spin moves. He's got step backs. He's the league-leading three-point shooter. He can get to the hoop in two steps. He dunks on people's souls. He's a killer in transition. He can do it in the post when he has a smaller guy on him. He can light up a slower-footed guy on the perimeter. He really just has a lot to his game. And I know we gush about him a lot, but there's just so much there. There is really just so many layers to his game, and that's why he's tough to stop. That's why it's tough to adjust to cut him down, because I don't want to pull out the Paul Pierce comparison, but this was what made Pierce so special, is that if you take away the spin, he can go to something else. If you take away the step back, he gets by you. There was always a counter that he had available because he had every skill. And Tatum's kind of the same way, where it's going to be really, really, really tough to stop him once he gets fully comfortable in the NBA, and once he gets a little stronger, and once he gets a little more athletic, because he already has so much crap to his game.
And to think the Celtics could potentially get a top five pick in this upcoming draft just for the right to draft Jason Tatum, which is nuts. which is nuts. I want to give a shout out to the following tweeters: at Irish Kelleher, at Mike Hynek, and at Betsy May Patel. All three sent tweets, pictures, screen grabs of Al Horford jumping on Aaron Baines and getting a piggyback ride, basically, out of the arena. And all basically
that was a great moment.
All basically saying the same thing. Al Horford, like Brian Kelleher, Al Horford literally left the arena on the big Australian boat tonight. Mike, Al Horford just hopped right onto the big Australian boat. And Betsy, Aaron Baines, big Australian boat, except it's not his boat. It's a piggyback ride. Now, how awesome is it that all of a sudden, all of these people are tweeting us about the big Australian boat? That's hilarious to me. I love it. I love it. So thanks to all you guys for sending that tweet in. I love it. That's a really funny moment. Al Horford. You don't usually see that much emotion out of Al Horford. That was really nice. That's fun. I enjoy that.
Right after he'd missed a triple-double by inches.
Son of a bitch. All right. Any other members on the boat? Anybody else?
Who else? Jaylen Brown kind of deserved it. He had some games to him. I think he had 26 against – who the hell did he have 26 against?
Hold on. I will find it. But yeah, no, he's.
There's just been so many games recently. Dude. I can't remember who he had 26 against.
This is.
But yeah, I think Jaylen Brown deserves to be on the boat because he can see again.
Yeah, yeah, he can see again, and he's just, he's kind of back. He had 26 against Denver, 13 against Chicago. Didn't have a great game against Utah. Wasn't that great against Memphis, but. Tonight, Jalen, 13 points, 5
missed
of 9.
Missed a lot of free throws.
Yeah.
Free throws.
He missed
4 on 1
4,
possession.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with him. I want to say it's worse on the road, but I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. In fact, I'm going to look up his splits right now. And his home free throw percentage, yeah, he's shooting 72.5% at home. And he's shooting 49% on the road free throws. And he's taken 51 free throws at home and 53 on the road. So the sample size is equal. So something, I don't know what it is, but he's shooting, 23, almost 24 points lower on the road from the line. That doesn't make any sense.
Solid math there.
Yeah, that's surprising.
but we take back his inclusion on the boat. He's going to be waving goodbye to his friends from the shoreline.
So basically, he's running towards the boat, and he has an opportunity to throw his stuff onto the boat and make it, but he missed.
Yeah, Shane Larkin might deserve it just for giving a sick burn to Bobby Manning the other night on Twitter.
Yes,
so our friend Bobby Manning, the Celtics blog contributor, tweeted at halftime that he wouldn't play Larkin in the second half because he was minus 13. Larkin tweeted back after the game, plus 13 in the second half. Keep the faith, big fella, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was great. Shane Larkin responding to people on Twitter who didn't even at him.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He wasn't. There was no mention. He doesn't follow Bobby Manning. He, after the game, either was told or searched for his name on Twitter so we can get.
Sometimes people at you on stuff, you know? So that might have been what happened.
Oh, yeah.
But
he might have been tagged afterwards, but still.
Either way, anyone who takes out our friend Bobby Manning on Twitter deserves to be on the boat.
Sure. We'll put him on the boat just for that. Hopefully word gets back to the locker room that's all it takes, and just have the entire Celtics team just decimating Manning on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just to get on the boat. It'd be fun. Disrespect to Bobby Manning. He's a fine young fellow, but I just think it would be hilarious if the Celtics just decided that they all wanted to be included on the big Australian boat for a week, so they all just ganged up on Bobby Manning just ruthlessly for a week.
I'm in.
That'd be hilarious. All right. Nice. That's nice. That's a nice, fine, tidy show, I think. I'm happy to end it here, unless you have any other final thoughts.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah. These games run together. It's hard to discuss these games sometimes when a lot of the same things keep happening over and over and over again. But, hey, it's fun. And at least tonight we got a crazy, stupid ending to make this one interesting. The Celtics play again Wednesday, Thursday night, and then Saturday they got the Bulls, the big revenge game, and then it's Christmas weekend. So that'll be fun. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're not a subscriber, you know what to do. Go subscribe wherever you find your podcast. If you are and you haven't rated us 5 stars, it's the holiday season. Come on. Where's your Christmas spirit? Give us that 5-star rating as a little gift to us because we deserve it. And a little review to let people know why they should be listening to us. And share the podcast. Tell your friends. Give them a present. Say, hey, you're a Celtics fan. You should be listening to this show because it's awesome. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.